I would just like to share a couple of thoughts from you with you from God's Word this morning. And I'm not going to read the scripture passage to beginning. We'll talk about the scriptures as we go here this morning. But you know, as the Old Testament drew to a close and the final words of the final prophet were spoken, the voice of revelation stopped. We might say that God grew silent. And for 400 years, there was no word of the Lord. From the end of the Old Testament until the first words of the New Testament, 400 years of silence. But then sprang forth some worth waiting for words. It must have sounded like music to the ears of the shepherds who heard the voice of the angel. And what were some of those words that the angel and later the multitude of angels spoke? Well, first couple of words out of their mouth were the words, "Fear not." Fear not speaks to us and to the shepherds back in those days of hope. This can happen because words are not tied to a feeling, they are tied to a fact. They are not tied to a person, they are tied to the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. It's not dependent on self either, it's dependent upon a Savior. And those words, "fear not," was a very important phrase for the Christmas story. Five times those words were uttered in relation to the Christmas story. And if you're here today and there's fear in your life, the words have not changed. The words to you are still, "fear not." We sing a chorus sometimes, "because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. And life is worth the living just because he lives." Another phrase that the angel announced to the shepherds was, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Speaks to us, of course, of joy. Joy is God's gift to believers. First in the birth of his son, and then in the lives of his sons. It's the fruit of the Spirit that is to be cultivated in the life of believers. And then those words, "for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Those words speak of love. It was love that moved God and was the motive behind the incarnation. One raw winter night, a man heard a thumping sound against the kitchen storm door. He went to the window and he looked out, and when he looked out, he saw some tiny shivering sparrows. They were evidently attracted to the warmth inside, but in vain they beat against the glass, trying to get in, trying to be where it was warm. Well, the farmer was touched at the sight of these birds, and he bundled up and trudged through the snow out to his barn. He was going to try to help these struggling birds in some way. So he turned on the lights in the barn and he tossed some hay in the corner. And then he sprinkled a trail of saltine crackers to try to get these sparrows to the barn. But the sparrows, which had, of course, scattered in all directions when the man came out of his house, still hid in the darkness, afraid of him. He tried various tactics, tried circling behind the birds to drive them toward the barn, tried tossing cracker crumbs in the air toward them, retreating to the house to see if they would flutter into the barn on their own. But nothing he did worked. Here he is, this huge alien creature, and he had terrified those little birds. The birds could not understand that he was there to help them, and so the man began to withdraw to his house, and he watched the doomed sparrows through a window. But as he stood there, thinking about their plight, a thought hit him like lightning out of the clear blue sky. And he thought to himself, "If only I could become a bird, if only I could become one of them for just a moment, I would be able to lead them to warmth and to safety." And at the same moment, another thought dawned on him. This is exactly what Jesus Christ did. He became like man The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the mystery of the incarnation. And the man began to understand now why Christ had to come, and the incarnation made sense to him. A man's becoming a bird is nothing compared to God becoming a man. The concept of a sovereign king being as big as this universe, the universe that he created, confining himself into a human body, was and is too much for some people to believe. But I want you to know it's true. Jesus Christ did leave the splendor of heaven, and he came to this earth, and he was born in a stable, and he lived a perfect, sinless life, and he was crucified upon a cross for your sins and mine, and on the third day he rose again according to the scriptures. That's the truth. That's the truth. God's love revealed in the incarnation has enabled us to chart an altogether different course. He has changed our tune and redirected our footsteps. And then finally, the words of the angels, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Speaks of peace and goodness. The angels announced peace on earth. A superficial view of peace on earth declares that peace on earth is possible, even though there is international strife, there's cultural strife, there's domestic strife. But a scriptural view of peace declares that peace on earth is possible only with and through Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. I want you to know today that you can have peace with God. It's an individual matter. It's an individual choice. You can have peace with God. Yes, your sins separated you from God, but Jesus came and he died for those sins, and now he shows you the way to heaven. He became like you. He became you, just like you, a man, so that he could show us the way to God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You can have peace with God this morning through Jesus Christ. If you come to God through the mediator, through Jesus Christ, and ask him to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from them and become your Savior, you can have peace with God this morning. There is no greater peace, let me tell you. There's going to be peace. There's not going to be peace in the world. There's not going to be peace in our culture. There might not even be peace in your home, but there can be peace in your heart. Peace is possible this morning because of Jesus Christ. Choosing Jesus is choosing peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." When you choose the lordship of Christ and his rule, you also have peace. When you surrender yourself to his leadership and to his rule, peace floods your soul. Peace with others is a choice. Peace with yourself this morning is a choice. Peace is multifaceted. We can have peace with God. We can have peace with others. We can have peace with ourselves. It's Christmas time. And the same song is being sung by the angels. Can you hear it? Peace on earth, good tidings to men. Glory to God in the highest. It should be music to our ears. But perhaps you're here this morning and the world has decreased the volume and you can barely hear the sound. In the hoopla of Christmas, may we not miss out on the Christ of Christmas and the resulting sounds to those who are his own. To a dark and struggling world, some 2,000 years ago, he sent his message. That message remains the same some 2,000 years later. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? You know, it's not really Christmas till it happens in your heart. Until Christ is born there, then it's Christmas. If you're here today and you don't have the peace of God that comes through Jesus. You've not asked him to be your Savior. You've not asked him to be born in your heart. I can think of no other time to do it than this time right now. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning, but I would like to see your hand. Would you say, Pastor, would you pray for me? This morning I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want to ask him into my heart. I've not done that before. This morning, for the first time, I want to ask him into my heart. Could I see your hand this morning? Is there anybody? Is there one? Child, young person, adult, I don't care your age this morning. The smallest child here could ask Jesus in their heart if they can talk. They can invite Jesus in. The gospel message is so simple. Jesus was born. He died for our sins. He offers us salvation, eternal life. He offers us peace and hope. He's offering you love this morning. Well, you heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave. There's the best gift of all. Anybody here? Just raise your hand. Pastor, would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus this morning. Praise the Lord. Lord, we do thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for the birth of Jesus, but we also thank you for his life and his death and his resurrection. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to come, be born in a manger, suffer at the hands of evil men, die a cruel death on the cross, so that we might have everlasting life. And I pray today, if there is any that is struggling through this time of the year and they just don't have peace or they have doubts, Lord, that in this Christmas season they would be drawn close to you. Lord, that the miracle of the incarnation would be not just an intellectual thought, but an inward reality. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? I'd like us to sing the chorus, Because He Lives.
Because He Lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Christmas, let me be the first one to do that. Merry Christmas.
Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for all the children that could be on the play, Lord.
Thank you for everyone's
wisdom. Let me make sure. May all the